Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mind Clickers. I'm a sport and exercise scientist from Melbourne, Australia, with a passion for esports performance, coaching, and overall mental well-being. I've been in esports for quite my life, previously competing in COD 4 Pro Mod and coaching StarCraft 2, whilst avidly loving CSGO and all FPSs. I created Mind Clickers to provide an insight into the psychological and performance demands of elite-level gaming. This includes getting an insight from coaches, players, staff, org founders, and esports researchers about their respective domains. In the following episode, I chat with a great friend of mine, Regan Campbell, the founder of Player 2 Secondhand Gaming. Regan created Player 2 with the ultimate goal of providing nostalgia to gamers alike and to those who cannot afford the expensive resale price of some amazing classics. Because why pay more when you can play more? I'm super happy to announce my first partnership for the podcast and happy that it's with a close friend. They specialize in anything gaming related, from nostalgic throwbacks to your rare collectibles. As listeners of Mind Clickers, you can also get 10% off your entire order by using code MIND10 at the checkout. Just head to www.player2oz.com and check out their extensive gallery. In this episode, we explore the background startup of Player 2 and the fundamentals that went into creating his business. We also explore some mental health and well-being questions that are very important for Regan and myself. Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Mind Clickers, where it's time to click both heads in 2021. I'm joined here today by Regan Campbell, who is the owner of Player 2 Secondhand Gaming and longtime best bud. How are you going today, mate?
Yeah, mate, I'm doing pretty well. I'm very, very excited to be here today. I've been listening to a couple of the podcasts to prepare myself, and I gotta say, your interview with Shinobi, like, you blew it out of the water with that one. I've got a couple of my mates to listen to that one. Look, very blown away by how professional and engaging it was, to be honest.
Yeah, thanks for that, mate. You know, we go back quite a while now, don't we? So we used to previously play Counter-Strike Source for a bit, and then I think we played a little bit of Go in the early days. But we've got a lot of history, and it's really great to have you on the episode to share some up-and-coming things that you're doing with Player 2 and really get an insight into how that business works and everything you're doing at the moment as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, how long have we not? We've probably known each other for about 10 years or so now. Yeah, I think we've ever met face-to-face. I came down to Melbourne one time. I'm from New South Wales, obviously, and I didn't end up getting to catch you, but look, it's amazing the kind of bonds that you can form over, you know, just playing games every day with someone.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, the amount of mates that I've made just from playing, you know, video games online, especially Source. Source has really kicked it into it. Look, I have a whole bunch of mates down in Melbourne, you included, because of just hopping on the computer every day, which you can't tell anyone over the age of 40 that happens. They probably think that you're being stalked, or you're being seen by someone, or you're a danger. Yeah, sorry, someone's going to be a danger to you. It's a very, very new modern thing to have friends met over the internet.
For sure. I mean, some of the best mates you make are on the internet as well. I mean, I've definitely not haven't met a couple of mates up in Queensland that I've been gaming StarCraft 2, you know, League here and there. And, you know, it's one of those special relationships that not everyone gets. Obviously, if you're not online, you're not in that kind of connected web. It's a little bit weird. But, you know, once you actually get involved in there, it just becomes a lot more natural. And I think that's one of the special things, you know, for online gaming. And it's that connectedness that also brings us together, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, to be completely honest with you, same with me. A lot of the mates that I've had have been found over the internet as well. I mean, there was a time where I was a, you know, 14-year-old, 16-year-old dweeb who had literally no friends. So I just got into Call of Duty and, you know, played Black Ops for hours and hours until I met someone on my team who didn't hate my high-pitched voice. And we just kept playing and playing and playing. And, look, I mean, the bonds that from some of the people you meet online are incredible. I mean, you really get to know someone when you sit down with them and chat with them and play games with them and, you know, just stuff around with them.
Yeah,
you've really got to have an online friend to know just how important it is. It's very hard to explain, I guess, to someone else. But, I mean, it's a good thing you have a gaming podcast, so there's probably not too many people out there that wouldn't understand.
Yeah, it syncs up really nicely. And, you know, obviously most of those audiences are tending to look in towards that more esports detail. And even if those aren't into esports, I'm sure they can kind of get a baseline understanding of that kind of foundational relationship that develops over time. So we've got a lot of juicy things to get into in regards to player two, but let's kick it off with a little bit of background about yourself, you know, schools, what you did after that, and, you know, how player two, this whole idea of starting up your own business came around.
Yeah, look, I mean, a little bit of introduction of myself. As Parker here introduced himself, my name is Regan Campbell. I just turned 24 in November of last year. And look, basically, I've just been in the workforce for the last 6 years, just working, trying to climb my way up in the ladder. But look, essentially, I started doing nothing. I came straight out of high school. I went to uni and I actually started to do a double degree, one of them being psychology and the other one being sociology. But I ended up being a college dropout 2 years in because I just didn't see the interest or yearn for it. I could see that I was studying, but it felt like I was almost studying for everyone else, not for me.
For the sake of it, yeah.
Yeah, just for the sake of it, because I didn't, as you know, a lot of these teachers and your parents, they force you to go into a tertiary education. That's how you become successful. Well, yes, it definitely does help. There's many ways you can become successful without it. But I mean, look, after I dropped out of uni, I basically did nothing. My partner was the one who actually prompted me and pushed me to get a full-time job, which I know sounds bad. But I was only about, I think, 19 at the time, maybe just turned 20. And I ended up getting a job at a well-known telco brand called Optus. And basically I worked and worked and worked full-time, climbed my way up the ladder in retail, or as much as you really can. And I didn't have a drive for it anymore. I kind of reached where I wanted to be. I was getting the kind of money I wanted. I got the kind of money that I really wanted. And then I wanted something else. So I ended up taking a corporate sales job. And I started that in February of 2020, which is a month before COVID. So I've been working from home for the past 11 months. And to go from a retail job to working completely from home, I know it's a big change for most people, but I absolutely love it.
So how was that kind of change from, you know, suddenly working in, you know, for example, in an Optus store? You know, you're in there, you're in person, you're interacting with the customers, you're building those kind of, you know, rapport with the customers almost. To then changing to that corporate job, to then obviously changing it into a home environment. You know, what kind of scene is that, you know, differently?
Look, at the end of the day, the Optus job was fantastic. I absolutely loved it. And if it gave me even better money, or not even that, I guess just it didn't stuff me around with hours, because the issue is I wanted a Monday to Friday job. It's not even about the money ultimately. I wanted a Monday to Friday position. But as you know, with retail, if you've ever worked in it, you're on a Thursday late night. You're on a Saturday or a Sunday, or there's someone sick, or you have to cover someone. So it was really refreshing to say, I start at Monday at 9 o'clock. I finish Monday at 5, and my week finishes Friday at 5. That's it. It's very refreshing to know I have set hours. While I do respond to emails and such before work or after work, it just kind of streamlines it. And I think the most refreshing thing about changing from a retail job is if you're done with work for the day and you've actually put in a good amount of effort, I'm not just saying hitting the bottom line minimum quota, you don't have to keep going unless you want to. So the good thing with sales, I guess, is that you put as much, you get out as much as you put in, is a better way of saying it. So,
right. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just to knock off on a tangent, but to bring it back all in together, I absolutely love working from home. I just have found so many hobbies, so many new interests, picking up so many more skills from working at home. Player 2 was the result of working from home. And, you know, a passion of mine has always been gaming. I remember that 5 years ago now, it would be that esports was a huge part of my life. I mean, I was definitely into a lot of the esports scene, especially in regards to CSGO. I used to be betting on every CSGO match that I could. I'd watch every uni game. I'd do anything and everything related to CSGO. CSGO was my bread and butter. I used to play a bit of League of Legends as well. I don't even know if that's still relevant anymore because I haven't been PC gaming for about 4 years now. I know CSGO's kind of seen a downturn with the rise of Valorant, but that's always going to have a special place in my heart. I think I've clocked over between CSS and CSGO at least 5,000 hours, which is ridiculous. But when you're a 16-year-old, 17-year-old with nothing better to do but to sit at your computer desk and play till, 1, 2 a.m. in the morning, then what else are you supposed to do? You just keep playing games.
Hell yeah, that was the time. You know, you come back from school and you just jump on. You know, you talk to your mates after school and it's not even a question of whether you're going to be on or not because you're just going to be on. You're just going to jump on TeamSpeak or, you know, Vent or, you know, whatever it was back then. Pretty much you're sure it was TeamSpeak.
Skype then. I remember using Skype personally, which is such a throwback.
Dang, Skype. Yeah, I remember that. And then, you know, sometimes if you wanted to make a call, you had to top up with credits and stuff, but that was back in the old OG days. Then we had the TeamSpeak server and, you know, just jumping on and queuing up, and it wasn't even a matter of are we going to play or not. It was just that we are, you know, it was that assumed assumption that, you know, we're just going to queue up with the lads and we're just going to go in and, you know, just have that good fun time, you know, gaming and, you know, really enjoying ourselves. And that was, I think that's where those early day foundations were helped to, you know, obviously contribute to your passion for gaming as of today.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look, gaming for me has started from the very, very bottom. As soon as I think I could walk, I had a PlayStation 1 in my hands. So I grew up playing, you know, Crash, Spyro, and then that, you know, went into the PlayStation 2 where I played Kingdom Hearts and, well, I'm blanking on it. Definitely Kingdom Hearts, I remember that as much. Or Dragon Ball Z games I would play on it. Naruto games, I was big into anime then. But it then snowballed into getting a computer. And that's where it really exploded. That's where I was, as you said, coming home, putting my backpack down, not even getting my school uniform off.
Straight
on the Skype to say who'd play League of Legends or CSGO with me or who'd just have a chat with me. It was such a fun, refreshing time. And that's the time where you had the most freedom and the least responsibility. So you could just get home and just have fun. Getting older, I still have fun with gaming, but there's nothing as pure as just coming home, sitting down, talking with your mates all night. That's just crap, to be honest, but you love it. And I guess a part of growing up is that you realize that your mates grow up as well and you have to grow up. So I think everyone's seen that meme where it's last online 372 days ago and the guy says, oh, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. It's very true. A lot of the people that were hardcore gamers that still have PCs, not playing it every day. When you hit your mid-20s, you just have so many responsibilities. You've got dating, you've got household stuff, okay, you've got a career to balance as well. And it seems like actually enjoying yourself almost goes on the back foot to some point. So, look, if I could relive any point in time, as, you know, sad and lonely as I felt in the moment, being surrounded by all these online gaming personalities, you know, that were my friends, I would 100% go back then. I'd take my partner with me, obviously, because, I'd probably take my partner with me, but that's about it. I would love to relive that if I really, really could.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, as you say, you know, as we start to make those, you know, transcend the steps into adulthood, you know, obviously there are people who, you know, are still able to find the time and being able to find the time when there'd be like an hour on the weekend or, you know, for yourself, you're, you know, loading up a couple of cheeky ones on the PS or something. You know, it's being able to have that kind of disconnect from the real world and just being able to, you know, kick back, relax, You know, whether it be, you know, half an hour and just play, you know, something that's nostalgic, or, you know, play one of the new modern games and just, you know, take that time in relaxing and enjoying yourself. And I think that's, you know, one of the key positives, you know, ensuring in regards to, you know, stepping in a little bit later, you know, talking about having a positive mental well-being and, you know, just one of those things that helps to refresh and take a step back and look at everything from an outside perspective and get that external view on how things should be. And, you know, being able to juggle that is definitely a balancing act.
Oh, 100%. And I think, look, having some sort of relaxation, whether it be gaming, whether it be watching TV, is so important. You can't just be work, work, work. I mean, as Homer famously said by quoting The Shining, all work and no play make Homer something something. And I think we can all agree that if we didn't have any playtime, we would all just go absolutely insane. And I think video games hit that great balance for me personally of resting and winding down, but also staying engaged. And look, whenever I have free time, I love to do that and just play by myself. I load up the PlayStation now. I don't play my many PC games at the moment, but I load up the PlayStation and I might play a nostalgic game. I might go back and play Ratchet and Clank or Sly Cooper, or I might sit down and play The Last of Us 2, for example. It really depends, but having that choice and having that knowledge of what I like to sit down with means that when I have that free time, I know exactly what I'm going to be using it for. And that always goes back down to sitting on the PlayStation on the couch, kind of just loving what I'm doing for the time that I'm doing it. Of course, I'd want more, as anyone else would want more. But I think it's a good balance of, I found that good balance of balancing work and play by utilizing that PlayStation time. And I know it sounds strange, but look, it keeps me very, very de-stressed when I just get to play a couple of hours, even if it's per week. If it's per day, that's great. But yeah, it's a very good de-stressor and mind relaxer.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, obviously, you know, leading into player two now, you know, obviously, you know, with this whole process of having an online secondhand gaming outlet and, you know, a retailer being yourself, you're going to have these games coming in that will bring back those previous memories, you know, whether PS1 or Xbox Classic. You know, I was having a look at your website the other day and I saw some of the old Xbox games that I've actually got. And I just thought, you know, hey, you know, I've got some of those games. Maybe they're worth booting up for Fable, for example. Fable was a game that I absolutely loved. Simpsons Hit and Run, just those old time big ones that really just came through and they just bring back the old memories of just kicking back on the beanbag and just, you know, going at it. And that's been really awesome. So, you know, let's go into, you know, a bit more about Player 2 now, just because I'm so curious about it and this sudden passion, you know, that's transcended from a previous gaming, you know, CSGO, CSS, and then you've started to think, hey, you know, maybe I should try and get into the online gaming retailer. So how did that idea come around?
Look, to be completely honest with you, it was a slow burn to start Player 2. So I didn't actually come around to the idea straight away. I was actually clearing out my old gaming catalog that I had, or gaming library, I should say, at my grandparents' house. So I stored a lot of PS2, PS1, PS3 games there when I moved out with my partner, never got them. And I thought to myself, I'm never going to play these again. I should just sell them. Some of them were worth actually decent money. So I just eBayed the price and put them on Facebook Marketplace. And all throughout 2020, I'd sell 10 games here, 5 games here, walk to the post office to post them, have someone come to my door to pick them up. It really just started like that. And I think what really sparked Player 2, it was only 2-3 months ago when I was really selling. There was two factors that really got me to look into Player 2 and start it. Right. One of them was that every time that I sold a game, or almost every time, someone would also ask me, hey, do you have this game? Do you have this game? Do you have this game? And 9 times out of 10, I think, well, it's not in my Facebook ad. Why would I have it? But it's obviously that people are looking for these games. They want this nostalgia. They want to play The Simpsons Hit and Run again. They want to play the old Spyro games. They want to play even the old school Mario games. Some of them just really just want to play these games again, while other people just really want to collect them. And when I saw that so many people were asking, I was thinking, there must actually be a really big market for this. I understand that I'm selling these games and people are buying them, but it's a bigger market than I thought. And the second reason was probably the easiest way that I could say it. I saw that I was selling these games as per priced. So I would sell maybe Dragon Ball Z, Budokai Tenkaichi 3. I know that's a mouthful and a half. I sold that for about $70, $80. But then I saw someone else who would be selling a big bundle of it, which would include some great games, but they'd have maybe selling it for $500 and there'd be $1,000 worth of stuff. And I thought, if I just bought all that stuff, I could sell, even if I sold half of it, I'd be in the clear and then I have more games to play. So then I really thought, should I just be flipping these games? Should I be on Marketplace going, hey, should I buy this big bundle and then just sell them individually, or should I do something more? I've always had a drive to want to start a business, but I don't know how to use tools to save my life. I've never done a real university degree to completion. I've never done a TAFE course. I'm good at selling and I'm good at video games, but unless I want to start my own sales business or a telco business, which is insane to think about from the ground up, then what can I do? And I just kind of, one day, it was in November, I remember, I was just playing around with the idea and I basically said to my partner, hey, should I start a business? And at first I thought it was, you know, how you hear all your mates, oh, let's start a podcast. That's a meme as well, but you actually did it. Look, I threw it out there and she said, oh, you know, that'd actually be a really good idea. And once she gave me even just that slightest bit, I just went on a spiral. I thought, you know what? I am going to start a business. I am actually going to start it up. I am going to put my money where my mouth is for once and actually open something up to just have fun with it. I mean, the whole point of Player 2 is to give, obviously it's for a business I'm getting money, but it's also to give back to the players and make them feel a sense of nostalgia again. Because there's nothing better than getting a video game, whether new or old, and absolutely falling in love with it. And I mean, to go back to what you were saying with The Simpsons Hit and Run, that's a absolute classic that I recently just got in, and I'm not putting it up for sale just yet because I'm going back and just absolutely loving it. And it is insane that I know all of the stuff I still do. I know where all the secret cars are still. I went into it and I was like, okay, start of the level. I'm going to get the rocket car from the Homer's level, and then I'm going to go get the monorail from Bart's level, and I know where the watchers are, and I know where the cars are. It is insane how much knowledge I retain because how obsessed and how much I loved that game. And look, I just really want to give that experience to other people. And based on the feedback that Player 2's already gotten, it seems that they have. So many people are so happy to just, I guess to put it in perspective, seeing people play these old games and writing a review for the page or emailing me or messaging me saying, this is perfect. I'm so happy with this product. I finally had this nostalgic kick that I've been looking for, and I didn't have to pay an arm and a leg to finally get this, because you look at the prices on eBay and they're so exuberant. Look, we don't just sell nostalgic games, but that's definitely our sweet spot, because I have a look online and I see people talking about these old games that meant so much. So it's just fun to get them in and then to play them myself and test them and then to give back that joy to others in a way. I know it sounds very, very cheesy, but it is very, very refreshing when A, I get a paycheck in, and B, when someone writes something very nice, it genuinely warms my heart.
Yeah, well, same sort of thing with me when I was threading on, you know, starting a podcast. It was one of those things where, you know, obviously being an absolute fanatic for esports, whether that be StarCraft, whether it be CS, whether that be League, whether it be Hearthstone, whether it be, you know, I'm still playing RuneScape at the moment, you know, and I scroll through my RuneScape friends list, and, you know, what, kind of what you said before is that that meme, 365 days, you know, some of my old friends, they don't even have the same usernames anymore because they just get deleted off the system. So I can't even look at their usernames anymore. So it's kind of like one of those old things. It's just, it is nostalgic, and it's one of those, kind of what that passion that drove me. Obviously not RuneScape as per se, but, you know, just coming off the back end of my sports science degree, sport and exercise science, and kind of having that drive to understand esports from someone else's perspective, from the player's perspective, from their coach's perspective, from an organizational owner perspective, from a founder, from a researcher, and try and understand more about esports so that I can go and do my own esports performance coaching and get involved within the scene, because, you know, in OCE, the scene is alive and it is there. But obviously it's not as big, or it's not as strong, and it's not as fanful as something like NA or EU, where pretty much the titans, the powerhouses, are reigning supreme on the esports scene. So that's why I think being in OCE, I feel pretty lucky to be able to have this podcast that can kind of fuel the tank and kind of light a fire on, you know, the scene of esports in a positive way, not a negative way, that can kind of, you know, start the car and, you know, turn the key and, you know, let it drive. And it's definitely a kind of situation where I was thinking, should I start a podcast? And I was thinking, nah, no way. Am I really going to be able to listen to myself speak back, or, you know, talk back? And how am I going to do this? Because, you know, I didn't used to be the best speaker, and I didn't used to have that confidence. And I think that's where, you know, towards the end of my degree, I started to, you know, do a little bit more public speaking and get involved with, you know, different communities, get involved with different meetings, or whatever it may be, just starting to get involved. And I think that involvement allowed me to have that desire to think, you know, I want to start this. I want to talk to these people and provide that insight so that other people can take it, even the youth, because nowadays, you know, we see, you know, 14, 15 year olds starting to get into esports. I think that's where I can really relate to that. And I think that, you know, anyone listening, you know, if you are thinking about doing something, you know, it's a really good case with Regan here, you know, just, you know, you kind of put the jigsaws of your ideas together, and eventually it will create the puzzle. And, you know, you might not see it at first. You might not think that it might be successful, and it might not be. And not all things are. But it's when you go back and you have that consistent idea of, you know, reinventing, and, you know, you're going to change the jigsaw pieces around so they fit better. And that's where it really comes together, and, you know, you have that solidified idea. So I really love the, you know, the idea of Player 2, because it is providing that nostalgia. It's ticking the boxes for all the people who want to get into gaming again, and I think it's an absolutely perfect business.
Well, thank you very much for the kind words. And look, I mean, what you're doing here is nothing short of amazing, because I've heard so many passing conversations that were definitely inebriated the people that I was speaking to. Of being, hey, bro, let's start a podcast, and nothing ever comes out of it. And like you said, it was a slow burn for you. From what you were saying, it started from this idea, should I do it? And then you went, okay, I'm actually improving myself as a person. And then you put your ass on the line and you did it. And that's what you need to do. And I guess one of the biggest issues when you put your ass on the line like that is that you are worried that you're going to fail. But realistically, the only person that's going to be disappointed if you fail should be yourself. It's not necessarily meaning that you should chastise yourself and, you know, whip yourself and say that, you know, it's all my fault, but, you know, you're the one who's doing it. You're the one who's put your ass on the line. And if you don't succeed, that's okay. We're allowed to be disappointed that it didn't succeed. But if it does, you tried. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You know what I mean?
What a quote. What a classic.
That's it, mate.
Yeah. It's 100%. Because I started off, I sent out about 60 emails, 60 Twitter messages, Instagram messages, Discord messages, because I didn't know how to connect with the esports scene. I didn't know how to get my foot in the door, you know, start talking with these org owners. You know, all of a sudden I'm talking to Shinobi from Cloud, from X Cloud9 Valorant IGL. It's pretty insane when, you know, and it didn't start off, you know, really smooth sailing, and, you know, talking to these awesome people and you know, talking to, you know, best mates like yourself and, you know, Julian for episode two. It is the slow progress and it's a slow grind, and it's all about having that positive, you know, imagery that, you know, it's something that can happen and, you know, can happen due to persistence and, you know, just pushing through. So I think, you know, they're wise words of wisdom that we've shared today. I think it's pretty sweet. Yeah.
I think another thing to look at it as well is that this kind of stuff that you do, whether it be a business, whether it be an online venture, it is luck as much as it is effort. A lot of people say, oh, you're lucky when you do it, but you also put that effort in. The people that say, oh, you work so hard, but it's equal parts luck, equal part effort. So the fact that you've managed to get these people is your drive, is your effort. But the fact that they've picked up and responded to you, that's the luck part. For me, I guess it's the effort to starting it up. But the luck is that I even had one order, let alone getting in an order a day or getting in a few orders a day. That's the luck part, because you hope that what you put out, you get back in, but it doesn't happen all the time. And for people that are trying to be successful and not saying it, sometimes it doesn't work out just based on luck. You could be doing everything right. Look at all those YouTubers that have under 1,000 subscribers that do hour-long documentaries that absolutely blow, you know, other YouTubers out of the water, that do vlogs and get millions of dollars. It's luck as much as it is effort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's one of those processes that you just got to kind of chip away and understand gradually.
Yeah, I mean, look, just to ask about, you know, obviously what you're doing, because it is the Mind Clickers podcast. Since there isn't, like, there is definitely a scene in OCE for esports, but because of the obviously hot scene that it is over in EU and NA, could you ever see yourself going overseas to do a coaching role if one presented itself, even to a lower class organization, not necessarily your Cloud Nines?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'd love to get involved, whether it be, you know, a local org here. You know, I mean, I'm currently in the talks with an org here, actually, just to come in and do some of that sort of mental health, physical health, overall positive well-being, performance coaching, and just getting in with the players and really helping them. But you know, obviously within OCE, it is a slow burn because we're starting to slowly adopt esports. Like I talked with Team in episode four about who founded the University of Queensland's esports program, and it was a slow burn for him. And it's a slow burn starting to get that regulation within OCE as an area. And one of the biggest things that can kind of contribute to OCE as a region is that there's no governing body, there's no regulation, for the players, there's no backdraft. You know, the biggest thing about esports careers is that some rosters may last 2 months, they might last one season. You know, you do get those guys that can really pop off who last quite a long time, but it's the fact that there is that kind of job insecurity, especially once we see these guys that are coming out of high school and entering into esports and not really pursuing, you know, going and searching for a job in retail like yourself, or, you know, thinking about even considering doing it, you know, one of the free TAFE courses, or, you know, small whatever here or there, and purely just dedicating and chipping away at esports. It's one of those things where ultimately they don't really have much to fall back on. And, you know, it's kind of scary in that sense because, you know, what happens to these guys, you know, if they don't make that team? And, you know, being in that team, it also adds the pressure to perform, the pressure to do well, the pressure to ensure that I can be consistent, get in on next season, you know, maybe try and get picked up by a team, maybe start to get some more Twitch viewers, maybe start to get some more YouTube views. It's that pressure. And it feels like it's one of those things that's in slow development. But from the people I've talked with in recent times, I definitely see some awesome progression towards OCE. But to go back to your original question, yeah, I think I would go to NA potentially. Obviously, it's pretty much the titan powerhouse of the industry, so it's where everything is pretty much narrowed and focused. But yeah, definitely love to get in, you know, do some sports science, do some performance measurement, whether that be, you know, taking some guys and doing a pre and post heart rate tracking, looking at their breathing during clutch situations, looking at their heart rate, you know, when they're kind of, you know, in a 1v3 and stuff, and comparing that and helping with their sleep and helping with their external physical health, whether that be their exercises, and, you know, ensuring that they are ultimately having that really good performance that all esports teams should be seeking to make a gold standard.
Yeah, look, that sounds awesome. I mean, I guess with your career, it's good to know that you could take it wherever it goes. That definitely shows that you have a very passionate drive about what you're doing. I guess just one more thing while we're on the topic. You see, or I've seen in the past teams, and the only one that really comes to my head is, I don't know what they were called in Australia, but they became the LA Renegades for CSGO, if I was correct.
Right, yep.
With the, had the cowboy logo. Sorry, it's been so long.
The Renegades.
The Renegades to head over to LA. So if you were to start this job in OCE and then saw all these players move over, do you think there would be an opportunity to move over to NA with them? Or do you think that it would be a case of you'd go on to the next team here, generally speaking?
Yeah, I think it would come down to the goals of the org and the goals of the squad and the goals of each individual, and then also the goals of myself, because you know, currently I'm also doing post-grad. So I'm doing post-grad in rehabilitation counseling. And whether I want to, you know, mainly go into the esports role or whether I do some clinical stuff to help with overall mental well-being in the community, whether I want to go to Japan, because I've, you know, previously done diploma of advanced Japanese, go to Japan and help some of those guys, also known as NEETs. And that's, you know, not in education or training, and help them overcome that really big, poor negative stigma in Japan. But there is a lot of different optional pathways, and that's something that I've tried to keep as much open as I can. But, you know, sticking to an OCE team, obviously it has that Oz rep, you know, to be proud to be in a part of an Australian OCE org, or, you know, I think definitely that would be the priority. Just because I don't know if I can honestly see myself going through all the hassle of moving interstate or, you know, internationally, but, yeah, it'll be an exciting adventure, but, yeah. But let's get back on with you, mate.
No worries. Look, that was great. Look, I just wanted to hear a bit more about what you're doing as well. So that was fantastic.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that, mate. No one's asked me, actually. I think you're the only first person who's actually asked me, you know, in depth, kind of my idea and the vision for MindClickers. So I really appreciate that, mate.
Yeah, lovely. Well, no, it's good to hear what you're doing as much as it is to hear about what I'm doing. So I'm glad that you shared that with me.
Yeah, fantastic. It's going to be exciting. Whether what happens at the end of the year, because, you know, obviously the start of the year with big things planned for both of us, I'm sure. So it'll be exciting to see, you know, once hopefully COVID starts to gradually die down, hopefully things start to open, processes start to come a little bit more smoothly, which kind of links into the next kind of process was, you know, obviously COVID's pretty, you know, sporadic throughout the world, you know, over here in Australia, not as much. Starting to you know, get the cases under control. So how did COVID affect the process of going through player two, you know, whether it be, you know, getting the discs or meeting people at your front door or cleaning, that whole process of, you know, interacting with your customers essentially?
Well, look, actually COVID is not been a hindrance at all, because I started this in the middle of COVID. It just really impacted how I thought I wanted to run the business from the ground up. So essentially what happens is I don't go out and meet people because of COVID. I don't go to people's doors. I don't go and pick up these games in person. I get everything shipped to me. And while this does cost me money in shipping costs, it's all about keeping me, my family, my partner's family safe. I don't think it's worth spreading a virus potentially because I wanted to save $10 on shipping. And look, I guess when I'm buying in bulk, it does hurt a little bit with the shipping cost. Sometimes they can go up to $25, but I can justify it because I'm keeping everyone safe. Now, once COVID's over, I definitely could see myself going out and going to collect these games personally. Even though COVID is under control in New South Wales, I would just hate to go to someone's door. They have got it somehow, and it was all for nothing. And I ended up contracting it because I didn't want to spend an extra $10.
Sure.
Look, I think the thing is as well that COVID has definitely helped with starting the business. There's no doubt about that. COVID has been the reason that I was able to start, because just even based on the travel time that it would take me to get to work and back in the morning, I've taken those 3 to 4 hours a day to work on my business every day to start it up. I basically said, okay, well, I have spare time. I could be playing video games or I could be doing something with my time. So I decided, why not start this business? Why not start, do everything myself, get the word out there? And because I have this spare time, and I mean to inform you of how it all started, because I think we'd lean in there anyway. When I decided I'm going to do it, the first thing I did was think of a name. And for some reason, that came to me straight away. Player 2, secondhand game. I thought Player 2, perfect, right? It makes complete sense because, yeah, you're the second player. I mean, that's it. I think everyone would be able to get that much. Mm. And then the next step was creating the logo, which I thought, oh, I do not know graphic design to save my life. I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I went on a logo maker website.
I went on one of those as well.
I went on one of those, and I basically just put three things on the page, changed it around a bit, and it was done within 5 minutes. And I was so surprised that I was able to get something so that I really liked the logo. A lot of other people liked the logo, something that I was actually proud of to put out into the business sphere was already made. And from there, I literally just messaged people about an hour or 2 hours a day. I would message people on Facebook Marketplace, hey, is this still available? Hey, can I get this shipped? Or I'd go on eBay and I'd try and bid against people for bundles, or I would go on Gumtree and try to look at bundles and of things to buy to get in. So in the early days, it was creating the logo. It was creating the Facebook page as well. It was getting that stock in. And how I really got a boost on social media is I sponsored my first post that I made, because Facebook advertising is actually quite effective. I sponsored the first post I made saying that a new gaming website was coming soon, and that gained some traction. And then I set a start date a week from then for, I think it was 3 weeks after, that I would get everything done, everything would be set up. And originally, I was just going to put the post up on Facebook and people were going to message me and then I'd sell it, right? But then I saw every other gaming business have their own website. And I thought, I can't be the only one not having a website. So I would have been fine within those 3 weeks if I didn't have a website. But then I had to rush to make I use Shopify. So I had to rush to learn Shopify, make a website, upload all the products within 3 weeks, which doesn't sound like the hardest thing to do. But when you've never touched a website making design, a website template, or you've never uploaded a product to the internet, or you've never really gone in depth on how much your PC can really do, it is a lot more complex than it's made out to be. And I essentially worked from that point where I decided to make a website till the start date. I would have worked 70 hours a week on the business, including balancing a 40-hour work week. I think some of it combined together, because I would use some of the work time if I had a break to work on the business. So I was only getting a couple of hours sleep per night to get it up and running. And my partner even said, hey, you don't need to get it out on the start date. And I thought to myself, you're right, but what if one person unliked it and that one person would have bought even one thing and then left me a review? And it spiraled in my head and I became obsessed about this idea to get it opened and to set myself deadlines. And I think to talk about the psychology of it, it was very unhealthy when I was doing it. Even this was a month ago, to obsess and to not sleep and to overwork myself. I just felt so drained and stressed and anxious. I feel like I would have almost broke down like 5 times just trying to think about sorting this website out. But there was no better feeling than when I could finally press the post button to say it's launched. And then later that day, I had one order come in. One order on December the 4th came in, and I cried because all my hard work paid off, not straight away, but it felt like it was, it's just like an inexplainable feeling to have all your effort actually mean something. The only other way that I can put it in gaming terms, if you've ever played Dark Souls and you sat on a boss for like 2 weeks and you finally beat it.
Finally get it.
It's like that on steroids, on crack. That just feeling, if I could redo any feeling ever, I would do that again. And look, I mean, that's about it for how it all started up. To reboot back to the question, COVID was the reason for the business. This didn't affect the startup. It affected how I planned out the business. But if COVID never happened, I would just be sitting in a 9-to-5 job, coming home, cooking dinner. I wouldn't have experimented with this. So even though COVID is horrible, there's no doubt about it. It has affected so many people. I have been able to see the silver lining and actually make something out of it. So in a way, I'm grateful for what it has given me. I'm not grateful for what it has done to everyone in the world, but I'm grateful for what I've been able to achieve as a result of working from home due to COVID.
Yeah, fantastic, mate. I see the passion. The passion is where it really comes through. And it's just the fact that, the persistence, I think. You never really had the thoughts of giving up, and I think that's where it really shines through. And I think that's one of the most important things in that understanding process, that there will be ups and downs, there will be the struggles, but ultimately when you hit that post button, like you said, it was the same thing with me. Going from not understanding podcasts, I had to call with one of my best mates, Jim, who's a sound engineer actually, and I called with him over Discord just to try and set up my Blue Yeti to sound, make it sound pretty good. And at the time, I was actually making some RuneScape videos and posting them to YouTube because it was like, the thing I was doing on the side towards the end of uni, just because I was having fun and wanted to try and track my process. Getting him on Discord and, working through, probably spent about 5 hours trying to figure out how I can adjust the gain and adjust all the different levels and really, try and fine tune it just so it sounds decent enough for episode one. And I set that deadline, I set myself similar to yourself, having that deadline. I locked in the episode, I sent out the message, and that was with Udisoft, so with Toby from the Direwolves previously. And he was, it's a big thing with him as well. He's quite popular and he has that quite traction behind him from the Direwolves, which are pretty massive in Sydney, especially in the League of Legends scene. So that pressure was on. The pressure was on because I didn't want to postpone it. I didn't want to say, I can't figure out my microphone. And it was that pressure to really put myself into gear in a quick snap, work out how I'm going to record it, work out how am I going to edit it. Previously, I used to, the good old COD 4 days, editing and stuff like that. So I had that kind of previous experience with Sony Vegas, but nothing in regards to sound. And in a podcast, sound is the most key thing. Especially because we're not recording video, which we might in the future. Sounds what everyone listens to, especially if you want to listen to something for 45 minutes to an hour, to an hour and a half, to an hour and 40 minutes. It's one of those things that needs to sound good. And, just that struggle and then going through and, meeting him and talking with him and going through the topics that I love to talk about and then going through and editing it, listening to my own voice. But then finally when I could, upload it and it was like, okay, the graphics are done. This is done. I've done my little snippets. I've made all my socials and then just posting it. It's live. Pretty much one of the most satisfying things that came out of last year. Definitely just the grind and that process. So I can really relate to you on that just because you had that vision and it kind of started during the same time of COVID as well. So yeah, it's pretty special.
You and I can both really understand how satisfying that feeling is to launch something. And even probably when you got your first view, I'd assume that you'd be cheering inside because it's one person that's explored and seen your content that may have listened to the whole episode. Maybe they didn't. But the thing is that someone went out of their way that you don't know to click on your stuff, to engage with your podcast, to listen to it, whether it be you for your smooth entertaining voice, whether it be your guest who really brings a lot to the table from the esports scene. I mean, getting someone from Direwolves is amazing for the first podcast. Funnily enough, I used to work at an ice cream store in Star City Casino, which is your version of Crown, except way worse because Crown absolutely slaps. every time I'm in Melbourne, I always go down to Crown without fail because it absolutely blows Sydney's casino out of the water, even though we do have a Crown now. I'm very excited to see how that is. I used to work below the casino, and whenever the Direwolves would be there to train or sometimes to tournaments, I think even, they used to come to the ice cream store because it's called Messina. It's a very popular brand of ice cream, which I didn't know that there could be a very popular ice cream brand, but nonetheless, they used to come and I would serve them ice cream and say what they're doing here. And I got to know their league team, if I'm not mistaken. Not very in depth because it's just how you would know the Coles checkout person if you went there quite often. I know how big they are. And when I saw them when I was bigger into esports, I noticed them straight away from their jerseys that they had on. And it was very exciting to see them too. So to actually get to interview and sit down with someone, that's amazing, man. Like, that's nothing short of incredible.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, where it takes, you know, where we go this year especially, you know. You know, we've talked about, you know, kind of my sort of vision for everything, but, you know, what's the vision for Player 2? Do you see yourself branching into a physical store? Do you see yourself just gradually expanding, growing? I saw you recently got into consoles, which is awesome as well, because I definitely, you know, think that, you know, someone wanting to pick up a PS1 or an Xbox Classic is sick. You know, where do you see yourself growing in terms of that?
Look, I mean, for 2021, the goal is to just expand the business and get more gaming inventory for consoles that I have in stock. So I've mostly done gaming consoles, I'd probably say from the 2000s onwards. Unfortunately, I have not got any N64 titles in. So my main focus is to grow the more retro. And I know that collectors want Nintendo 64 games like you can't believe. But the only issue with that is I need more income to actually come in. Which I'm slowly gathering, and I think my next purchase will be a bulk lot of Nintendo 64 games. The only thing that I worry about is having to keep them for such a long time. But then that's just what you have to do with this kind of stuff. You need to store it. You need to wait till it sells. It's the risk that you take. But definitely I think the next step would be Nintendo 64 games as the first start, then branch into more retro games and completing those retro consoles collection that I have, and also expanding and buying more consoles in the meantime as well. In terms of where I see myself heading, maybe to a physical or staying online, I think I would love to do a pop-up store once I become more popular. I probably would hopefully like to see that by the end of 2021, even though I know that's quite a while away. I think that it's important to grow a fan base and to have people actually really, really start to believe in the brand, which does take time, as we all know, to grow and to actually build a respectable brand for people to actually go out of their way to see me. Whether this branches ultimately into a physical store, I'm unsure. I would love in the future, if this really takes off, I would love to own a physical store. I love to just talk to everyone coming in about old school video games, and I'd love to show off consoles and get even people come in with their kids. I say to stores, they try and show their kids the games that they played. I would just love to give someone that experience of seeing someone with their parent walk in and their parents say, "I used to play this. This was the best thing ever." And then their kid getting addicted to it. So yes, definitely a physical store would be ultimately what I would like, but I'm very happy to keep it online for now. The reason being because I'm also balancing a full-time sales job, as I said, as well. So it is very, very easy for me to, well, not very easy, I should say. It still is quite difficult, but it's a lot easier to manage two jobs if one of them is solely online and the other's working from home.
Right.
And I guess one thing that would really push me away from the physical store especially is the fact that it's a lot more pressure, because right now if I don't sell anything, I'm not losing out. If I have a day without sales, it doesn't matter. If I'm at a physical store, I'm all in or nothing. So if I don't make a sale, it's very daunting. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay a mortgage? How am I going to support a family? So if it did take off, and this could take years, yes, I would explore it ultimately, but very happy being online as for the moment.
Yeah, I can definitely see the pressure of having the in-person store, because, you know, suddenly you have that extended pressure of having these people. Are they going to come in? And, you know, being online, the big box that you can tick is accessibility, right? It's so easy for someone to pick up their phone or jump onto the PC and just type in later second game and click buy and, you know, add to cart. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, a couple of days they've got it. Whereas, you know, if they were, you know, feeling a bit ill, you know, having a physical store requires you to actually go out and, you know, transport, and there's so many extra domains that can add to trying to get a sale. There's so many more footsteps that need to be taken. Whereas if, you know, you have your email, you know, list that you can send out to guys, you know, you have your newsletter, you have your promotions and the giveaways online, it's so much easier in terms of accessibility.
Of course. And I think as well, why another reason I'm happy to remain online is because one of my competitive points and why I think that I'm more quite viable in this marketplace is that my games are quite cheap in comparison to other online retailers. I think that if I did open a physical store, I lose that edge of having that cheapness brand associated with it, because I have to worry about rent costs. I have to worry about getting stuff in, getting sales in the door. I have to worry about so many other things that I think it remains almost unviable unless it's so big to open a store. Because at the end of the day, like I said, a business goal is I want other people to enjoy it. And yes, while there are titles that range from $100 to $300 or some as little as $5, they're still going to be, from what I can see, cheaper than the competitors that I have online. And that enables that person to say, oh, I don't want to spend $150 on an old school Zelda game, but I'd be happy to spend $110. And not saying that it necessarily means that those are going to be the set prices, but I generally find that my niche is lower price games so that these people can start to enjoy it more and can start to enjoy these nostalgic classics without paying an arm and a leg for it.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think you've definitely wrapped around it, and having that previous sale experience, it's allowed you to transform into a really good kind of understanding of how the shop functions successfully and you know, what it looks like in terms of going forward.
Yeah, and I think as well, it's just easy. Once the store is all up and done and once I finished with everything, it really is just sending orders out. It's updating the products in the store. It's social media management. And it's, did I say shipping orders out the door? Sorry, I may have. But it is just your basics from there. I've already got the bread and the butter. I just need the spread, the filling in between. I just need that. Now, it's as I expand, yes, there will be more stuff that I'll need to put in to put more effort in. But ultimately, it's so easily run through it. I could be sitting here right now and look, I mean, if I check my phone, I might even have an order. And I might actually... And believe it or not, I actually do. But that's how easy it is. And then today I can book in for a sendal courier to send it off to who I need be. It's that easy. And with it just makes my life easier because it's this kind of passive income to get in as well.
Yeah.
It's when I'm laying around doing nothing, I can get a $50 order that just popped up just like that, which as you can hear, every order excites me. It doesn't matter if it's a $10 order. It doesn't matter if it's $100. Of course, I get definitely excited when it's over $100, but every single time I'm excited when someone makes a purchase. So it's just a great way to also, I guess, feel good. If I had a, I remember having a very bad day recently, just mentally, and I got a notification at 9 o'clock at night that an order was placed on the Shopify store, our Shopify store player too. My whole mood changed, to be honest. I almost bounced through the ceiling. I was that happy. It's unparalleled to see all your hard work, like I said before, amount to something. And look, even just for my mental health, it's been amazing to see the fruits of my labor sometimes. And it definitely would be able to turn around any kind of mood that I'd be in.
Yeah, for sure. I respect it, mate. I really do. It's definitely one of those things that's passionate, you're passionate about, and it shows. And it's one of those things that, you know, we talked about mental health a little bit earlier, you know, that passion, that positive well-being, and the importance of it, and the importance of being able to understand that we're going to have ups and downs. There's going to be, you know, we're going to be climbing the wall. Sometimes we're going to lose a foot. You know, we're not going to put it in the right spot. We're going to, you know, go back down a bit. But eventually we'll get on top of the wall and we'll look over the wall and we'll see everything we've earned and we'll see our progress. And I think it's one of those important things to understand that, you know, again, there will be ups and downs. And clearly, you know, it's successful now. And, you know, it's just exciting to see where it grows. And it's going to be awesome to see what happens.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't call the business successful just yet. I'm very happy with where it's at. I don't want to brag about what I've done. I'm just very happy with how it started and how it's going, and it's exceeded my expectations for where I thought I'd be right now. I thought that, you know, it could be a week, it could be 2 weeks, it could be a month before I even saw my first order. So to get, you know, even an order a day is nothing short of amazing. And cool. Yeah. It's very amazing to see it picking up steam, and I'm just setting goals, hoping I reach them, but having fun in the meantime. That's really what I'd like to do with the business. I don't want it to say it is something that I have to do or that it becomes a chore. It's very much a hobby that can be turned into money. So just as I'm sure that Mind Clickers, for example, very good hobby, but it's also something that you're getting fulfillment out of.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe down the line, it's something that you can make profit off. I'm not sure how the whole Spotify thing works or how your AdSense money works for that, but it's definitely something that, you know, is a skill-based, and it's a hobby that you can see the value out of. And not saying that gaming isn't, but I definitely see that I'm doing something with myself, making a business out of it. But not all hobbies as well have to do that. I'm just finding enjoyment out of having that almost double-edged blade in a good way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, in regards to the podcast, it's one of those things where I, you know, again, just wanted to do it just purely to get this knowledge train, to get these, you know, because, you know, I'm going to be doing my my postgrad in rehab counseling and probably, you know, sticking towards getting into that clinical area, whether that be helping people in work care or whether it be people helping with, you know, who need that mental support. And that really kind of links in to esports really nicely. So I'll be able to be in that kind of clinical area, and then I'll be able to kind of slide my way down the slide into esports with the podcast behind my back, showing that, you know, I have these insights, I have this experience talking with these lots of people. Experience in helping players with their mental well-being and overcoming disparity, especially in stressful situations, which a lot of esports players do. So yeah, it's just one of those things that it's going to be exciting to see, and exciting to see where it grows.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, I guess one of the benefits is if someone asks for your resume, you can just link him to the Shinobi podcast for now. That's how it goes.
Yeah, that's it. So one thing I really want to quickly touch on just before we start to wrap up here, because we've had a really big, massive, insightful episode, You know, it's not, you know, the usual episode I do. This one's definitely a lot more tended towards that kind of life talk and, you know, the life talk with a bit of spice gaming sprinkled in. And I think it's really one of the insightful and more, you know, recommended episodes that I'd suggest, for, you know, like, you know, your up and coming gamers who are, you know, getting into esports playing, but also kind of had that side hobby, you know, in the sense of maybe I could do something in regards to business, or there's not always that straight line that you have to go into tertiary education, like you said earlier. But I think that's, you know, why this is kind of like a standalone episode, and it's special in its own needs. So I really appreciate you coming on. But one thing I really wanted to quickly touch on is quite a while ago now, you did a push-up challenge, you know, with that importance of driving positive physical and mental health. So can you just touch on that a little bit further and, you know, what inspired you to go through this challenge?
Yeah, sure. So that's definitely in my personal life, and that was before I started Player 2. Essentially, my partner's father, so I call him my father-in-law even though we're not married because we're so close, but he got nominated for a viral challenge that went around that you had to do 25 push-ups for 25 days, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure it was 25 push-ups for 25 days. I don't know how I've forgotten that, how many days, but I do remember doing them each day. And essentially, it was to promote mental well-being, suicide awareness for men especially. Now, a lot of people would just do the push-ups. They do about 12 days and then that's it. I decided to actually challenge myself. And what I did was I did 25 push-ups for 25 days. I would say a story at the start of it about mental health, because I think mental health is so important, especially as a male. It's not talked about. It's not well known enough. And there's such a stigma around being a male with mental health disorders, whether it be depression, whether it be anxiety, whether it be BPD. There's so much stigma around it still in this day and age. So I essentially said a story about my personal experiences with mental health each day, and try to reach out and say, hey, this is, here are support lines that you can go to. You can go to your work sometimes. They have employment programs that actually get you to speak to a counselor for free. You can go through Medicare and get 10 free psychology lessons. And each day I would add a kilo of weight onto my back up until I did a total of, I think, it was just 20 kilos of weight added onto my back, 25 push-ups done it as well. So that reason was to really push myself into a challenge, because 25 push-ups when you first start is hard. And the next day is even harder. And then the next day is even harder because you're still sore from the first day.
Doms, yep.
It becomes so much easier. So I needed to really challenge myself. So I put on a backpack, filled it with weights each day, and then just did push-ups. And in the meantime, I thought, I want to do something more. And maybe this is an ambition I have, but I decided to then open up a donation link to the Suicide Prevention Australia to have donate money towards it. So that money would go back to, again, providing awareness and helping people with mental health issues as well. I think we raised personally over $500. I'm not sure of the total figure because it just went straight to them via a Facebook link that let it do it. But it's amazing to see that people were donating even $10 towards mental health. It's amazing that people, we hit 500. I mean, I'm not the most popular guy in the world. And to see me make a difference and to help our community with mental health issues is amazing. And I think I wanted to lead into this point as well. At some point in 2021, as part of Player 2's grand scheme of things, I do be planning... I am planning to create a whole month where at least 20% of profits go towards helping those affected with mental health issues. And I think I'm going to be picking the Black Dog Institute. So 20% of my profits from the business will be going straight back in for, I'm not sure exactly which month, but for a whole month, I'll be donating that towards a certain organization because, like I said, mental health isn't talked about enough. And it's great that you have this podcast to talk about the psychology of esports. But I think gaming as a whole, people don't, you know, talk to people who sit alone at home all day and play video games. We're very sit in our room and think everything's okay because we're laughing with our mates on the computer and we're having a good time when we're playing online games. But sometimes we still very much aren't okay. And a lot of people use gaming as an outlet to not deal with their problems. It's that disconnect so that they don't have to deal with their depression. And it just gives them an outlet to keep, it just gives them an outlet to keep their mind off it. I see so many mates who game and put that depression at the back of their mind because they focus on gaming. I've seen people that I play online with be very depressed and come to me that I've never spoken to in real life and tell me their problems and tell me that they're hurting and tell me that a family member has died. But people put so much focus, especially as gamers, we put so much focus into not thinking about our thoughts that we forget that we actually might have mental health issues as well. And so I would love to use my platform, even though it's a store, I would also love to use it to give back to the community because mental health for me has always been something that's very, very important.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you sharing that, mate. It's one of those stories that, again, it's kind of the end of the episode. It's kind of a little bit straying away from the goal of the episode, but I think that the whole aspect of ensuring a positive mental health is not talked about. And especially, you know, this being an Australian podcast, you know, primarily focused towards OCE, but, you know, expanding into other regions. You know, I'm sure that, you know, there's people, you know, men and women all over the world who have these problems. And it's sometimes they just don't have the ability physically or mentally to reach out and ask for support. And it's one of those things where they can get trapped and they can feel insulted. And it's one of those things that they need to be sure that there is support there available. So yeah, I really appreciate you talking about that, mate. It's definitely one of those things that's, you know, important to really understand at the baseline that, you know, it's just something that probably, you know, I don't know the real stats off the top of my head, but I'm sure a lot of people go through and it's something that needs to be touched upon to provide a lot of support through it. So yeah. I really appreciate you, mate. That's kind of speechless in that sense, but I'm just really proud of you and really really happy that you took that challenge on and promote mental health in that positive way.
I was very, very happy to do it, and like I said, there is no better feeling than thinking that I have given back something, especially to those who are less fortunate than me. I mean, it's insane when you, obviously you said you don't have the stats, but when you actually look at them, one of them off the top of my head is that in terms of mental health, the number one killer for men under 40, if I believe it is 40, is suicide, which is, it's so sad to think about that it's men taking their own life. I'm not saying that women aren't affected by mental health as well, because they definitely are. And I think everyone definitely deals with mental health in a different way. It's very unique. It's like a snowflake. Yeah, every person has a different scale on how well they are mentally. And I just think that society as well, especially for men, have put such a don't talk about your feelings, don't say how you feel, you look like a girl if you do that kind of stuff. It's not okay to express how you feel. So that's why I think that men's mental health especially is so important to focus on. But then that be saying, I think everyone should definitely be taking a good look at their mental health and talking to people and seeking help if they need it as well.
Fantastic. Really well said, mate. And I think that's just the pretty much the utmost perfect ending to what a podcast could be, a really good call to action, a really good call to voice, and a really good call to message to say that, you know, there is support available and it is there available to those who need it. So don't be afraid to reach out. And I hope even one person listening to this podcast, you know, if they have those kind of tendencies or if they're feeling kind of upset, they reach out because support is available. I'm always available to have a chat with anything, go, you know, talk with you about anything. Always there, open, DMs are open. I really feel positive about, you know, being able to influence and help people and support people and encourage having that ultimate positive outlook on life, because it's something that should be cherished, because, you know, one day it's there and some days it's not. And it's one of those things that can be gone instantly. So I feel really strongly about that. And I really appreciate you coming on to the podcast, Riggs, and sharing your insight in regards to mental health, sharing your insight in regards to Player 2 and the amazing business that you've started up. Because I think that some guys listening might be, you know, have that opportunity to potentially explore something like you've done, starting your online business. And I hope this has kind of provided that process, the thought process, the planning and the understanding and kind of the commitment that was required also to ensure that, you know, a passion and a hobby was turned into a platform that can be successful.
Yeah. And look, I mean, if I was to say one last thing to anyone who is still listening, who really does want to start up their own business, just start planning. Look at it from baby steps. Think, I want to do this. And if you have a skill, find out how you can do it differently. Mine was to, like, my main focus was to create a good website and logo, because I go on so many gaming websites that aren't EB Games or JB Hi-Fi, the main ones, but I'll go on other ones that I won't name because I just don't think it's very professional too. But there's so many bright colors and there's so many flashing lights, and I went for a more minimalistic look. And I think that's my niche, but if you can find a niche or you can do something better than even I can, do it. If there's someone out there that wants to start their own gaming thing or gaming website or gaming brand or just a business in general, I don't care if you're my competitor, I want you to do it. And I mean that honestly. If anyone listening to the podcast wants to reach out to me personally and get any ideas or any tips to starting this up, I'm more than happy to share it, because look, at the end of the day, gamers, basically we're in a community, and we're so much in a community that it's subdivided between, as you see yourself, esports, nostalgic gamers, there's casual gamers, it's such a large community that almost everyone's a gamer to some degree. So yeah, I mean, to wrap this all up, if you really have a drive, a passion to do something, the only person stopping yourself is you. So just do it. Honestly, just try. If you fail, that's okay.
Hell yeah. Well said, mate. I think it's been an absolutely amazing episode. Just providing an insight into everything we've touched on. Yeah, I think it was honestly fantastic. And I'm definitely really, really glad we finally got the opportunity to sit down and have a talk on this beautiful Friday. And I'm really excited to for everything that happens in the future. And remember too that Rex is always there as well to support. And his website will be in the show notes, and his contact on socials will be in the show notes as well. So yeah, once again, thanks for coming on, Rex, and I really appreciate this really big in-depth talk, combining kind of the esports and the online retailing and the online gaming, the pre-gaming and the mental health. I think it was really a positive episode. I think it's an episode that's definitely going to be stand out in regards to providing that really support and encouragement. And I think it's definitely an episode that I'm going to be definitely proud of.
Amazing. Look, mate, I'm so happy to be on this. And this honestly was the funnest thing I've done in a very, very long time. I've always wanted to be on a podcast. So it's a dream come true. And to have it to be actually someone that I call a mate of mine and a really close mate is amazing. I mean, the fact that we both done something with gaming is nothing short of incredible.
Yeah, definitely. So if you did manage to end, if you did manage to reach the end here, it's been quite a lengthy episode, but I'm sure you would have taken away at least one really key important life lesson from the episode. That's the goal. just to take one small thing away and provide, you know, a nice insight into what it's like to have your own startup business and be a really good positive advocate for mental health as well. So once again, thanks for coming on, Riggs, and I can't wait to look to see what happens in the future.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me, mate.
Thank you very much for tuning in until the end of the episode. It was really awesome having Riggs on just to go over some life stuff and business as well. And as always, if you are looking for some nostalgia for a very cheap price, check out player2gaming.com and you can use code MIND10 for 10% off your entire order. I'll be absolutely open. Any income or profit that I do make will just go straight back into the website for MindClickers. It'll go back into advertising the podcast and really trying to expand our reach globally as well, so we can try and hit as many gamers as possible to ultimately help with performance and mindset as well, because that's my entire goal. So thank you very much for tuning in, and I'll see you in the next one.